Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and you're listening to the Revisionist Report for Thursday, August 18th. Today, I'm going to start out with a couple of items that I didn't get in yesterday about Adolf Eichmann. These are things that I was looking over what I had left yesterday, and I thought this is too important to forget about. So I'm going to tell you a few more things, and that is, first, in these Der Spiegel articles, that there's several of them, let's say. And this one is very recent, from January 10th, 2011. This is where these documents that have been referred to so much, that these Secret Service documents that have come out, you know, and revealed all these things that should make us suspicious of Eichmann's relationship with the German Secret Service, with the Israeli Secret Service, with this and that. Looking at these documents, what it says about these documents, and remember that Der Spiegel is an establishment kind of like even bigger than Time Magazine in the U.S., kind of like Time Magazine and New York Times or something combined. That's what Der Spiegel is in Germany. So it's kind of like all the news that's there, they're gonna have. But of course they have their globalist slant to everything. But this is what the people are getting, and also they're quite thorough, but they're always biased to the left, greatly so. Now, in January 10th, though, of this year, eight months ago now, I'm going to quote from this article, a Secret Service document obtained by the German mass circulation daily Bild, that's a big tabloid-type newspaper there, the biggest one in Germany, again, the most read, from the archives of the BND, that's the country's foreign intelligence service, shows that the BND knew the location of Adolf Eichmann, the biggest Nazi criminal still at large at the time, as early as 1952, a full 8 years before he was caught in Buenos Aires by Israeli agents. Now, this is what Wilf was saying, but here, what is this fantastic document that they're talking about? What is it that is proving this? Well, it is a typewritten file card. And it says the typewritten file card states that Eichmann was living in Argentina under the alias Clemens, and they spell it C-L-E-M-E-N-S. And quoting, the address of E is known, this is what the file card said, the address of E is known to the editor-in-chief of the German newspaper in Argentina, Der Weg, the card says. That's a... Yeah, German newspaper in Argentina. That's it. That's all they give us. That's what the file card said. There's no photograph of the card. I'd like to see the card. Are there any official stamps on it? Dates? I mean, what is this card? Is it just a card with some typing on it, or is it more official looking than that? All right, we'll be back to continue with this after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back, Carolyn Yeager with the Revisionist Report, talking about, back to Eichmann again, talking about some of this evidence that is supposedly backs up some of these theories that are coming out now about Eichmann being a Zionist working for the Israelis and connections between the German Secret Service and the Israeli Secret Service and so on. Now, that there might be some connections there. There's no question about that. I mean, I don't really question that, but the meaning of it in the end is what I might question. So, or have different opinion with other people. So now I said that this card, you know, was just a typewritten file card, and it doesn't give us any more information about how authentic this card looks. Maybe it's very authentic, but we don't see it. They don't show us a picture of it. And also it, the person who wrote it said, said that his name was spelled C-L-E-M-E-N-S, whereas actually he was under this, he had taken the name of Clement, C-L-E-M-E-N-T. So they got the first and last, letters wrong. Now that's a common error. There's nothing questionable about that in my mind, except that it probably means that wherever this came from, it was something that someone heard rather than someone knew, you know, as a fact. They hadn't seen the name written. They had heard it and therefore spelled it in the way that they thought they heard it. All right. Well, now the next article I'm going to talk about was on March 31st, 2011. So 3 months later, 3.5 months later, they had another article called On the Trail of Holocaust Organizer Adolf Eichmann, in which, this is in Der Spiegel, in which they are playing this up and saying, talking about the part that I'm going to quote here, says, rumors persist to this day that Adenauer tried to protect senior German officials with the Nazi past. Was this true? And if it was, what role was played by the BND? Now, this is what Wilf was talking about and what this Gabby Weber makes a lot out of. But I would say if Adenauer was trying to protect senior German officials with a Nazi past, good for him. Good for him. You know, he was trying to run a government there, a German government, And many of the most capable Germans had been in the Nazi government, in the National Socialist government under Hitler. And if you want to carry on a government, you can't have people who don't know anything, have never done it, don't know how to do it. You know, you need to have some carryover. And so, you know, these people had switched, just so to speak, and said, well, we want, you know, they were Germans first. We got to always remember. But this kind of communist attitude from Der Spiegel wants to attack Nazis continually and make every Nazi an evil personage, or what they call Nazis, you know, everybody who was associated with the rulership, you know, with the government and running things during that period of time is a Nazi. And they, even if they were members of the Nazi Party, there are people were joining the Nazi Party in droves. As a matter of fact, though, they had a limit, and after so many, they wouldn't take anymore. But that was, you know, that's the way these things work. Now to continue. Spiegel has now gained access to thousands of pages of formerly confidential, secret, and top secret documents from the political archives of the German Foreign Ministry. Now I'm going to list them all because they say all these things, where these documents came from. Thousands of pages, it says, of confidential, secret, and top secret documents from the German Foreign Ministry, the State Archive in Berlin, the Federal Archive in the western city of Koblenz, the estates of Adenauer and his chief of the chancellery, Hans Globke, at the Konrad Adenauer Foundation and the Chancellor Adenauer House Foundation, the U.S. National Archives in Washington, D.C., and the Israel State Archives in Jerusalem. But then it says, rather confusingly, the papers include, speaking of these papers that Spiegel has gotten access to, the papers include the minutes of German-Israeli negotiations, records of the German embassy in Buenos Aires, and documents of the secret Eichmann task force in Bonn, whose members came from the key ministries and intelligence agencies. They also include thousands of pages of BND records, which the agency may be required to disclose if lawsuits filed by journalist Gabi Weber and Berlin attorney Rainer Gürlin are successful. Well, I don't understand if Spiegel has access to these pages. The pages include these minutes, and then it says they also include thousands of pages of BND records, but then they say that they have yet to be released because there's lawsuits going on. So I don't know if I can't make sense out of that. If this article was edited, you know, like articles are edited, and somehow the editing got messed up, and nobody noticed it, or if this, I don't know. But anyway, it goes on page two, another section of this article. In reality, now this is a little part I thought was interesting because it says a little bit more about how they have put together Eichmann's story, that right at the end of the war, it says Eichmann was hiding with a few fellow SS members in the mountainous landscape of Austria's Altussee Lake, where his family lived. So he had gone to where his family was, but it doesn't say at all if it's the family meant his wife and children, or if it meant his extended family from his, you know, parental family and so on. But it says that his presence made the others nervous. But what others? Well, we don't know. Prompting him to leave the group and head north. So supposedly where his family was, but it made the people there nervous, and so he left. Now, when he was on his way north, he was picked up by U.S. patrol, and he was thrown into one of these prisoner of war enclosures. They call it a prisoner of war camp, but these, you know, at this time, these were just enclosures, and they had them all over the place, and they put people in there that they picked up, and then they sorted him out from there. So he started out with one name and changed to another, and I guess that was possible to do that. Now, here we go to this. It says something about this Hettel case, Wilhelm Hettel, that Wilf talked about. And this is interesting what they say here in this article from just this past March. His situation only became precarious When investigators working with the Nuremberg war crimes trials interrogated Wilhelm Hettel. Now, this is Nuremberg. Investigators working for Nuremberg, they interrogated Wilhelm Hettel, a close friend of Eichmann. They learned that Hettel, in the POW camp, see, I didn't understand this. I probably wasn't listening carefully enough. But Hettel, in the POW camp, had talked about, this is what he told the investigators at Nuremberg. He said there was a 1944 meeting with Eichmann in Budapest. Together, the two men had downed a bottle of Hungarian schnapps. Now, this is really important because let me tell you, Hungarian schnapps is strong stuff, or schnapps, period. Schnapps is really strong. And, you know, if two men down an entire bottle, they're drunk, okay? They're just plain drunk. Now, in this drunken state, Hettel says that he asked Adolf, tell me, Adolf, how many Jews were really murdered? And according to him, Eichmann had answered him 4 million in the extermination camps and 2 million by other means. Now, how reliable is this? This is what, in the first place, third hand. And Wilf agreed, you know, he said this, you know, that this testimony is not worth much, but they keep repeating it. Anyway, they call it, they say this response was later read out loud in court in Nuremberg, and it was the first reliable assessment, they say, of the scope of the Holocaust. The first reliable assessment, boy. So I just thought I would add that as to what I have said previously, that this story about all these documents, so far the only thing I have found appears to be this typewritten card. Now, they've got all these other things they're looking through, and I don't know if they found more there or not. I haven't come across it, but that's where we stand. So I think there's a huge amount of questions, and as usual, a lot is made out of very little. That's what they're doing in all these newspaper stories that show up here and there. Oh, all these documents are found, which is possibly show a link between, or they, you know, we were finding a link between Eichmann and the Zionists and this or that. You know, there's very little. There's really very little behind it. I'm still saying I'm waiting to be shown. If any of you listening can point out anything to me, please call in and tell me. And, in fact, the call-in number today is 1-800-313-9443, and you're welcome to call in. Now, I'm going to go, before I get to my Germanophobia topic, I'm going to talk just a little about what I wrote in my mailing about the crackdown on the far right in Germany right now, because once again these people on the left parties and their officials and so on are calling on the government to ban the National Democratic Party, which is actually called the NPD, is actually called the National Party of Deutschland. But it's sometimes called the National Democratic Party. I don't know. Maybe National Democratic Party is not correct. Some government, I think the Interior Minister or something, approves of that. Now, they tried to do this once before, and the Supreme Court said that was totally not unconstitutional under their so-called constitution, which is not a constitution that's been ratified by the population. But so now they're getting at it again. I'm going to talk about that when we come back and then go into my main topic. All right. Be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arrives by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to talk now. I started talking about the crackdown on the right wing in Germany. I think after the Breivik incident that they're still talking about. Of course, as I've said, we haven't seen the end of that for sure. Now they think this is a good time to go after all right wingers again. And this Hajo Funke of the Free University of Berlin supports the ban. And here's a quote from him. He says, the NPD, this is the climate in Germany, the NPD is dangerous. Its far-right, violent, and xenophobic ideology threatens the multi-ethnic fabric of German life. Just think, he's worried about the multi-ethnic fabric of German life. That's what he wants to protect. And, of course, the NPD is against the multicultural ideology, and so they are therefore violent as far as being xenophobic. He adds that Germany is still home to an active, dangerous, and strong neo-Nazi movement. And this article, which is in the New American Magazine, which yes is an outlet of that group. I can't think of the name of it right now. That's kind of discredited from the right wing, but they put out some pretty good, well-researched articles. And it says that the NPD's foes claim that it does not deserve taxpayers' money. You know, in Germany, all political parties receive tax dollars, depending on, I guess, if they reach a certain level of votes that they get from in elections. And, of course, in America, in the United States, parties now receive taxpayer money, too, for elections. So, anyway, he doesn't want them to get taxpayer money, even though if you have a certain amount of votes, then that means a certain part of the population supports you, so you get a certain amount of money, which is very fair, but they don't like that. Now, this article goes on to say some good things. It says that the label far right is largely meaningless, and it points out that the Nazi Party, which many German politicians are comparing with the NPD, well, they do it all the time. They do it all the time. The NPD does not bill itself as a Nazi party or as being Nazis. It bills itself as being wanting basically kind of a Germany for Germans type of philosophy, and a more conservative. But they put that together with being, well, that's just the way the National Socialists were, which is true. So therefore, that's what they are. But it says here that the Nazi Party back then ran specifically as a party of the middle. The actual founding of the National Socialist Movement was in Austria by Walter Riehl, Rudolf Jung, and Hans Knirsch, as someone relates in a book, South of Hitler. In November 1910, it says, these three men launched what they called Deutsche Soziale Arbeitsparty, German Socialist Workers' Party, which soon achieved political success. This was in 1910. Observers of today's Germany note that serious talk of banning the NPD, because some in the country deem it to be extreme, is an indicator of just how meaningless definitions such as extremism are. The American patriots and founders were extreme in their stand for liberty. If these men were living in today's Germany, would the German government have banned their speeches and actions? And, of course, my answer to that is absolutely they would. Absolutely. The founders of our country would be banned in our own country, our founders and patriots who started this. And we all know that. They would be seen as out on the fringe. Now, constitutionalists know that true liberty is the right to propose what others, even a majority, may not like. When government is permitted to determine what is good and bad, political debate, then the purpose of political debate itself is lost. So what they have in Germany now is that the government is being called upon to determine which political parties can exist and which can't. There's no defense for this, really, but there is tradition for it. And for this, I'm going to go to what is tradition in Germany, and what does, why, how do people see Germany? You know, how is Germany viewed? There is something called Germanophobia, as you can apply that to any idea, phobia, or to be a Germanophile, to be for something or for Germany, or and all things German, or to be a Germanophobe, to be against all things German. I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to read from a excellent talk that a German gave. In fact, it is by Manfred Kleine Hartlager, who was my guest several weeks ago for 2 days on this program. And in July, he gave a lecture before the Berlin Institute for State Policy on the subject of hostility towards Germans and appraisal. And this was in conjunction with that institute's 18th course of lectures. But no recordings were made, and so he writes that he has reconstructed his talk from his notes, and he put it out as an article in 3 sections. And I have the first section translated, so we're going to go into that when we come back for our long segment in a few minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee
found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager, and I'm talking about germanophobia. And the reason that I'm talking about this is because I think that it's real, and I think it's kind of it's much greater than most people realize. I realize that there are people who really like all things German, but there's a tremendous, really an undercurrent of animosity and prejudice against Germanism because of probably the incredible amount of disinformation that's been put out ever since, say, the mid-1800s, and, of course, increasingly in the 20th century. So, and it continues even today, as was evidenced yesterday on Deanna Spingola's program that I listened to when her guest was William Fink, and a caller called in and really spouted off a lot of amazing negative stuff. And I had that clip ready, but it seems as though, even though I worked it out with the person who was on the board yesterday, the one who's here today says he doesn't know anything about it. So I will have to wait for the next break. I don't know. I'm not getting any response there. So unfortunately, the communication. It leaves a great deal to be desired. Now he says, he's telling me he's sorry. He didn't hear anything. Well, I know that Dan left a message, but where he left it, I don't know. So I will just say that this caller, Dave, called in David from San Francisco. If you listen to that show, you'll remember it. He called in the second hour, and he was, he said, I couldn't be more disappointed in your show. And he went on to say that that the Germans were just absolute rots, and they deserved everything. They were so weak, they just sat around with this king, this monarch, Wilhelm, you know, and the Kaiser, and they couldn't create a republic. And when they did finally get the Weimar Republic, they got rid of it because they're so stupid, and he said worse things than that. But now he was saying, oh, the French came up, you know, created a republic way longer before the Germans ever got around to doing it. And so this was a great thing. Now, of course, I think this David may have been a Jew. He may have been a communist. He's from, or who knows what he might. I don't think that his views were really so sincere. Maybe he was just trying to interject that into the program because it was so extreme. But anyway, the French Revolution, I just want to remind you, was a period of radical social and political upheaval in French and European history, and these changes were enforced by violent turmoil, including barbarities, executions, and repression. For instance, during the Reign of Terror and warfare involving every other major European power. Now, the Reign of Terror was 10 months of executions, which took place in France following this revolution, and took the lives of between 18,500 and 40,000 French people. Estimates vary because of different historical records and statistical estimates and so on. But in a single month before it ended, 1,900 executions took place. I mean, the French Revolution is known to have inaugurated a terrible period in European history, which we're still seeing the results of, because of this republic of equality for all, which is part of the problem. That's how we end up with this multiculturalism. So to point out, and then these wars that followed, in fact, in 1792, right after France declared war on Austria, 1792, in the midst of this revolution, which was this 10-year thing, France declared war on Austria, and then other wars took place. So it was a terrible period. Let's see. Okay, he's got it now. He found it. All right. See, things do. I was going to remind him earlier, but I forgot to do that. So communication problems happen everywhere. So let's play this clip so that you'll know what I'm talking about from this David who called into Deanna Spingola's show yesterday. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, let's take David in San Francisco.
How are you, Dan? And is it Wayne? Yeah. No, I couldn't be more disappointed with your show. I'm an all-American mutt. I'm happy to be it, and I'm glad that America was founded on united you stand, divided you fall. And so when I listen to this, and I realized that Germany had only had a republic. They had been so cowardly, the French had beat them to revolution. The Germans were the cowards who sat there with a Kaiser for, you know, an extra 100 and so years. And so they couldn't draw up their nerve and get their own independence. And so when they finally got rid of the Kaiser after World War One, you know, we had to kick his ass in order to give them freedom. And so now you are out here claiming that, and Hitler was claiming that they are really a master race and they didn't need some old republic. They didn't need freedom because they're really a master race. Well, that's an interesting kind of scam.
And well, it seems to me that everything you're saying is actually contrary to real history.
Well, you mean they didn't have a republic early? Tell me when they had a republic. No, this Hitler was a part of the super rich, the right wing. I shouldn't even call it right wing. They were just a bunch of thugs and murderers who were trying to kill the German Republic.
Okay, that's all we need to hear. I think he went on for a while, and before they finally decided they had enough of him. But, you know, this kind of extreme talk, I don't know. He calls himself an American mutt. That's the popular idea that people like to say, which means he's a mixture, but probably of, you know, various European ethnicity. But he also said later that his great-great-great-great-whatever-grandfather signed the Declaration of Independence. Now, somebody there should have asked him what his name was, what this signer's name was, his ancestor, because he's probably making that up. But most people who have ancestors who have signed the Declaration of Independence don't call themselves mutts later on, but you never know with people. However, so that's why I kind of question whether this guy was really totally honest, sincere. But you hear this, and you hear this kind of thing, not so extremely put, but you hear it on RBN a lot. And I know there are listeners out there. They might not be listening to my program, very likely not, but they're out there who have these very anti-German feelings and don't really want to look at how, now, for instance, the Republic, I mean, the Weimar Republic in Germany was the biggest failure that ever was. And it was just a part of the entire Jewish-controlled globalist network. I mean, they didn't really want to go along with all that, but they didn't have any, they were too weak to resist. And one of the points that Hitler made was that in a parliamentarian system, you have all these individuals looking out for their own interests, the parliamentarians, and very little ever gets done. And that was the case. They could never get anything done. And once Hitler took over and kind of made himself, you know, the sole authority in Germany, he got a whole lot done, and it was very good, and the German people were very happy. So so this whole idea about republics and democracy and so on needs some investigation. I'm not saying it shouldn't exist or that they're all wrong, but it depends on who's behind, who's putting it together and where they are and whether the people, whether it can really work. And it doesn't work everywhere. It doesn't work for everyone. Now, I'm going to go ahead now with, let's see, I've still got enough time, with Manfred's article, because he is saying that hostility towards the German people is a decidedly complex phenomenon. There is, and you know, you can apply this to in general. So I know some people I might be focusing on the Germans too much, more than they would like. You know, they're not that interested. But what is happening here can be applied, you know, in many instances. You have to look at it as from a big picture. Now, there's a traditional resentment, he says, of many peoples, you know, traditional resentment by other peoples, neighbors and so on, Poles, French, British, Jews, dating from the period of the Second World War and preceding wars. He says, in addition, there's a sort of intellectual hostility toward all things German that has less to do with dislike of the Germans as people than with dislike and fear of the German state, which it has always been feared will become too powerful. Yeah, this is something we hear all the time. I mean, we used to, not so much now, but that's why Germany is not allowed to be sovereign, because it might become powerful again. Now, there is distrust of the German national character also. Well, we've heard so much about what all these tremendous flaws in the German national character, which are just a part of being German and can't be got rid of. Excuse me. Then there is the hostility toward all things German of the migrants who live here. So he's saying that the immigrants, he's calling migrants, who have come to live in Germany, and many are now citizens and so on, they are also hostile toward things German. And there is the hostility, he writes, towards all things German that is found among the Germans themselves. Now, this is where it really gets serious, because this is the result of re-education, which I've talked about. And Germany particularly went through a serious and deep re-education process over many, many, many years. It's still in force, where Germans were taught all these things to dislike themselves, to dislike their national character, to think that they could not handle power, to think that they had committed terrible crimes against others and so on. And so they now are hostile towards being German. And that's why Germans, so many, are convinced that they want to be Europeans. They don't want to be German. Now, there's an ideology whose central elements, he says, includes, Deutschfeindlichkeit, which is hostility towards all things German. Deutschfeindlichkeit. But that is, when he says there's an ideology, there's also this entire ideology against things German. So now he says that, I'll just go straight to his talk. He says the various facets and levels of the total overall complex of hostility towards things Germans are not disconnected. They penetrate and reinforce one another and combine into a danger for the German Volk. The hostility towards things German that two men called Gertz Kubitschek and Michael Paulwitz have written in a book that is in translation titled German Victims, Foreign Perpetrators, is only one side of the coin. I can tell you more about this book, but I don't know. You can find it by looking it up. I don't need to say more about it. But the other side of the coin, he says, is the hostility towards things German that is found in our own camp, which he means among Germans, which on account of mass migration is bringing the danger of our becoming a minority in our own country, thus presenting a problem for our domestic security. So he's saying, not so much among Germans, but among those who have become German, who are not really German people, but are foreigners who have immigrated into Germany and are creating a danger, which they feel very, very strongly over there, people who are sensitive to it, that they are going to become a minority in their own country. And we know that we are becoming a minority in our country. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll just make it very clear that of all the things that I am concerned about, I have to admit by using reason that the most important problem we have is immigration and the changing demographics of our nations. For all the ideologies and differences and so on, pale, and even the problem of the Jews is a less serious problem in the moment than the changing demographics, which will make us a minority and a voting minority in our own countries. And even if you can say this is all brought upon us by the Jews, all right, but in the very moment that we're in now, what we have to do is to turn this around or stop this or change this in some way, because once we are outnumbered, there is not much we can ever do again. So it's going to be a totally different situation. So realize this. This is why I talk about this. Now, and this is why someone like Manfred makes this the most important thing and doesn't want to focus on Jews. Now, there are others there who will do it more, but he's afraid he won't be listened to if he does that. At least that's my opinion. Anyway, I find his work valuable, even though he doesn't want to talk about Jews. Now, to go on with what he's written, and I'm almost ready for the break here, to our own camp, whose anti-German hostility is becoming a problem, there belong, in this connection, the Germans themselves, especially their functioning power elite. The functioning power elite, we know who that is. In a larger connection, however, also belongs the Western culture that includes Germany, whose elites have cause for anti-German hostility. So what he means by that is that the entire Western culture that we are in, including Germany or Europe, has anti-German hostility. And this comes, we know where this comes, was exacerbated anyway during World War II, and with the incredible type of false propaganda that was directed toward Germany and including the Nazi regime, which was in power at the time. So he's saying that some of this has less to do with actual resentment and more to do with ideology. meaning that, you know, this is communism. This is the left. This is the left wanting to destroy the right. And we've seen this in Britain with the Labour Party bringing in, having the policy of bringing in foreigners with the idea of destroying the Conservative Party by getting all these voters for themselves. This is really sick stuff when they put their party ideology, political ideology, ahead of their country.
Earthquakes, violent weather, unemployment, the economy. What are you thinking? If you're thinking preparedness, be at the next Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, at the Downtown Expo Center. Learn how to grow your garden, drive down energy costs, survive inflation, prepare your home, and much more. Meet KWTO's instructors, Vincent Finelli and Mark Wright. Tickets only $9 at GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. Earthquakes, violent weather, unemployment, the economy. Attend John Stadmiller's What's in Store for You and John Moore's Abrupt Climate Change and 35 other seminars at the next Get Prepared Expo. September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, Downtown Expo Center. Talk with pros on surviving, preparing, defending, and thriving. Grammy winner Steve Voss will perform live. Tickets just $9 at GetPreparedExpo.com. RBN annual subscribers attend one day free. GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. In the last 5 minutes, I'm going to read some more from Manfred's talk, and which are now articles, which can be found, but they're in German, and somebody has translated this for me. And then I'm going to continue with this tomorrow. So I will get as far as I can. And continuing here, the most common and widespread basis of hostility to things German is what I call the Western anti-German narrative. Narrative is a new expression in German. We could just as well speak of a historical ideology. According to this ideology, which is spread by films, literature, and popular depictions of history, Germany has been a danger for its neighbors in the past and is still a potential danger. For this reason, Germany must be bound, disempowered, and diluted because the German national character is anti-democratic, obedient, collective, prone to violence, warlike, genocidal, etc. Present-day historians are, to be sure, generally too sophisticated to draw a direct line between Luther, Frederick, Frederick the Great, Bismarck, and Hitler, But the lingering effects of this kind of propagandistic historiography are still noticeable today, and they are expressed in the inclination to treat all German history as a prelude to the history of the Third Reich. Manfred is not particularly an apologist for the Third Reich, but he does speak about it in an objective and fair manner, which I do appreciate. Manfred seems to me to be strongly Christian. He really supports the church as a traditional force because he is a traditionalist, but he's a German nationalist, a German patriot. And so for all those reasons, I appreciate him. Okay, to go on with him, one cannot understand this concept of history if one disregards the historical context, which of the European Civil War that has been raging since 1789. He recommends a book here, which is in German, so probably I won't mention it. But, and he says at present, this book is not available except in a Berlin State Library. So now he says this civil war is being fought between the partisans or combatants of three ideologies who repeatedly change their names, slogans, and programs, but still exhibit a recognizable identity and continuity. We are dealing with two utopian and one non-utopian worldviews. And so he says these are liberalism and socialism on the one hand, those are the utopian worldviews, and what is variously called conservatism, reaction, or simply the political right on the other hand. And he says both the utopian revolutionary ideologies, regardless of their differences, have identifiable similarities by which they are so fundamentally distinguishable from the right that they can be traced back to a common meta-ideology. So he's saying these two, liberalism and socialism, can be traced back to a common greater ideology. And there we have our music coming on. He says the... So for that, I will mark this, and I will continue here when we come back tomorrow for our Friday program. I hope you'll all join me then, and I might have some calls at that point, I hope. I haven't had any calls all week. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Carolyn Yeager saying goodbye for now. Come back tomorrow.
Ever climb.